team. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. I want to apologize for the elongated intro, having some difficulty here. I just wanted to make sure I can get everything done and out of the way here. I'm sitting in for J.K. Kim Wynn, our host, Mac Williams. Mac, you on the line? Mac, are you on the line? All right, well, I believe we have Mac's special guest on the line. Ms. Leitner, would that be you?
Yes, this is Manisha Leitner. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. Where's
Mac? Great. I want Mac to call in because he was on the line, now he's on the line, and I'm trying to get everything done. So I want to apologize up front for the confusion.
No,
having some issues here. But
it happens.
I believe I know. But it shouldn't happen as often. But I'm about to bring Mac in. I believe I got him here. So we can formally and begin. Yes, sir.
What's up?
Your show take away.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Mac.
I wonder what was going on. Hey, Manisha. What's happening?
Hey, we've been
you?
Waiting on you. No, I'm good.
You ain't been waiting on me. I've been waiting on the theme song to stop playing for the last 10 minutes. Wacky radio, man. God dog it. Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in to the Mac Williams show. It is live radio. This is what happens. Sometimes it goes kind of goofy, goes kind of sideways. But without further ado, I do want to introduce one of my good friends, a really classy lady, and a real trooper to put up with our goofiness, is Manisha Leitner. Manisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you
for being here. I appreciate
Thanks
you
for
doing
having
it. I really, really do. Wanted to start off the show by finding out what you're doing. I'm kind of going to go work backwards. I want to know what you're into, what you're doing now. I know you were a cover girl for a while back when we were all younger, much younger, but we still young. True. The Bible says you get 120 years. We still young. But anyway, back in the day, as the young folks say, you were the model on the front cover of Prince's three or four albums, I think it was, called Madhouse. A lot of people who are Prince fans don't really know it. But wanted to know what you've been doing, what you're doing right now, present day. I wanted to give you a chance to expound on what you've been doing, what you've been into, and, you know, kind of catching us up with what you've been doing. We'll go back.
Okay, well, I've stayed in the music industry since then. It's been about 25 years since the first cover came out. Right now, I am in the middle of starting a foundation for teen addiction, which, of course, has nothing to do with music, but I will be having concerts to raise money for this foundation. So that's taken up a lot of my time. In addition to that, there is a show that I'm currently working on that I can't really speak on just yet. So
When
we do part two of this, we can talk about it.
Okay. I was going to say, because you did tell me a long time ago you were doing something that you really couldn't talk about right now, but I thought by now we would know. But, hey, it must be real special if you don't know about it right now, so that's a good thing.
You know what? In this industry, things are always getting pushed back and on hold, and it kind of is what it is.
Okay. So the modeling thing has kind of stopped for you, or is that something you still do or asked to do or anything like that now? Or
no, the album cover situation kind of just, you know, he just kind of offered it to me out of the blue. It was nothing I was pursuing. And then I was in Colorado at the time, but I would fly out to L.A. to do the shoots, the video shoots, the covers. And eventually I moved out here to live, thinking I wanted to be in the business, more so acting than anything else. But I soon found out that the casting couch really does exist. It still does.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to get in there. It is hard.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So real fast, I decided I wanted to be behind the camera, not in front of it. So I ended up getting in the business side of the music industry.
Okay. And let me ask you, how was it that this was offered to you as far as a Prince? Was it something that was, you guys were friends, you knew each other? How did you meet, and how did that all take place? Not in the long version, but however you want to put it, but I've always been interested, like, did you all know him or what?
Yeah, well, we were introduced. I was introduced to him, and we remained in contact. We were introduced out in Minneapolis, and I was at an event that he was at, and we started our friendship from there. I went back to Denver, and we would still communicate with each other, and he just called me out of the blue and said, hey, do you want to be the cover girl for this jazz album I'm doing? I'm like, yeah, of course. So,
and that's how
it was. Is that a trick question? Absolutely. But, yeah.
Exactly.
And there were three different covers that were done, but the last album, 24, kind of got shelved. He only sold that on 1-800 New Funk, I think it was, back in the day.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. 1-800 New Funk, yeah.
I
don't remember at 24.
He, that was around the time where Under the Cherry Moon came out, and he lost money on that movie, so there were certain projects that had to be shelved, and that was one of them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like a dream for anybody to get a call or get that. I'm pretty sure you haven't regretted it because it's gotten you where you are. Do you guys still communicate at all, or is it more or less like, hey, Christmas, I hear from you, it's cool, I'll see you next Christmas maybe?
No, actually, I haven't spoken to Prince verbally or seen him since, my goodness, it's been about 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, I guess that's proof that God put certain people in your life at certain times, and then it's your ball to carry. But I know you're forever grateful to him, and I know I'm pretty sure he hasn't forgotten about you either. He's just where he is right now. But well, that's great. I'm really glad to hear that. And did you grow up? Let me ask you: did you grow up in Denver, or where did you grow up?
I spent the majority of my younger years there. I went started school there when I was in eighth grade, and I ended up moving to L.A., you know, in my early 20s, so.
Okay.
Yeah, my family kind of bounced around. I've lived in many different states, but that's where I spent most of my time. So I claim Denver as my hometown. Yay, Denver.
So you're a Bronco fan.
Shout out to my family and friends.
Wow. Let me ask another question. I guess my other question is, before the opportunity came with Prince, what were your aspirations? What were your talents? What did you, you know, what were you aspiring to do, or what were your talents? And I know it's a young age, but I just wonder, what you were thinking at that time.
It had nothing to do with this. It's funny because my best friend back there from high school, who's still my best friend today, she was the one that was always into the whole music scene, and I was the business. I always thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to someday run some big corporation and, you know, the briefcase, everything. I'm going to be fly with my male assistants. And then it just flipped. It just turned. Like, it's just funny when you think you know the route your path changes, and it did. Once I met Prince, it was changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well, that's great. Well, let me ask, and you have, I think, now this is not digging into your business, but I think you have sons, am I correct?
You said a son?
Yes.
Yes, I have two boys.
Two boys. Okay. I thought that. Okay. And that's great. And I just wanted people to see that. And how do you, let me ask you this, how do you balance that? Is that tough?
It's tough because they are 10 years apart. My oldest one will be 22 this month, and my younger one is 12. And my oldest one is actually the inspiration behind my foundation for teen addiction. So he is, he's been battling that, we've been battling that, and I want to do as much as I can to help other people, other families that are going through this with their teen, their young adults. It's really expensive to get decent treatment, and a lot of families cannot afford to do that. And there's not enough programs out there that will pay for these kids to get treatment like they need. And it's, the drug use is at an all-time high. It's ridiculous.
Amen.
And it doesn't have anything to do with where you live or where you come from, because I thought I did everything right, everything perfect for him. And it truly is a disease. There are people that can do drugs all the time, and then up and when they just say, you know what, I'm over this, I'm not going to do this anymore, and they can do it. Then there's others who, you know, their brain is forever changed, and they cannot have any type of altering anything. Sorry, someone just came into the room, but anyway, he is my inspiration behind it. The foundation is called HOPE. That acronym stands for Hold On, Pain Ends. And you will be, everyone will be hearing and seeing a lot of that.
Okay. Is there a website or anything that you want to share with my audience of where they can go? Or is there a place for donation for the foundation or anything like that?
I would, the foundation, the website for the foundation is currently being built. And so I would love to come back on your show to give out that information.
Okay, great. We'll definitely have you back on and have that information put back out. And then if it happens in before we get back on the air, you know, please call me. You already know how to hit me up. Hit me up on Facebook. Say, hey, look, it's done. You know, put it out. I'll blast it because I have a show. I have a show page on Facebook, and then I have my personal page.
That would be great.
You know, so that's part of what I do. I blast. I'm the type of person I blast. I have an audience, and I try to blast as much as possible. And let people know about it also. I also work for the number one summer league in the country, and they have, 4,000 people on our league Facebook, and over 2,000 people right now on our Twitter. So, I mean, you give me anything positive, especially something like that, I'm going to blast it. So you don't have to worry about
that. That's great. I really appreciate it. So
yeah, I mean, I've never
been go ahead.
I've never been through anything like that, but I have friends and people that I grew up with who went through it. And I know, I've seen firsthand how it can devastate and how it can hold people hostage. It's a real bondage. Anything I can do to try to help, definitely. Vic, did you have any questions or anything you wanted to ask Lanisha?
You know I did. But I didn't want to take over.
But I will say, but I do want to say this though. Manisha, while you're here, I want to introduce you to Vic. And Vic is actually our network CEO. He's the one who puts our radio stations on and helps us out. So he would be a very good person to stay in contact with also, because I know Vic's heart, and I know he would help in any way he could to either put it on our show, mention it or whatever. So I'll let him take it away a little bit with you on questions. But Vic is a good guy, and he's military, and so he has a voice and an audience also. So, you know, Vic, go ahead. Whatever question you have, go ahead, by all means.
Not a problem. And I do this because I love it, and plus it's part of my job in the military. I'm a broadcaster. But I wanted to bring something up. Listening to what you were saying as Mac was asking the questions, and I'm going to kind of push you to another one of our hosts who Mac brought to us to the network, which is Sylvia Crawley. I think you guys would have a great time on her show. She does a Monday show. Her show is all about a timeout moment. And I'll explain that real quick. It's about when you decided, or what point in your life, or points in your life, did you have to pause, reflect, and think about your next step before you spiraled down any further? Now, I'm not saying you spiraled down, but your son was probably one of those times where you had to stop and reassess what you were doing as a parent and how you could help your child. So I just wanted to push you her way as well, because you have many avenues here. Matt is someone you know, and he can always help you out and always be on that show, but we have more shows like that to get your information out. So that's
the first. Great.
Yeah, that's the first thing.
I'm excited about that. It's so great.
Yeah,
so
because we do a lot of sports and different things. Yeah, we do sports and a lot of different things, but at the same time, you know, if you – and, in fact, you know, like I said, you know, we'll do – like I said, I'll do all I can because, I mean, I look for opportunities to help, to make a difference because I don't want to just do this just to have guests and just say I know a lot of people. I want to make a difference with the power that I have, and I know Vic wants to do that also. So,
you know what, and
here, just make it.
That you made a good point. I, you know, that was one of my deciding factors. I said to myself, you know what, you know a lot of people, and this foundation, having benefit concerts and you know, in whatever type of event that we choose to have, there's a reason for me that I know all these people that can help out with
this. It's
overwhelming when I talk about it. I get kind of choked up, but I got to, like, pace myself.
I got
to be in it, to be in it when you have a son and you're trying to build something like this and you have to research heavily and you talk to others, it becomes extremely overwhelming. But definitely worth
it. I just real quick, before I let Vic say what he has to say, let me point out one thing that's really on my mind that I think God pointed out to say to you, and I want to say this. There was a point, and I want to let you know that, because I heard you say something like, you know, I thought I was doing everything right. I thought I was doing everything right for my child or whatever. And I remember my mother recounting the story to me. My mother always going to recount stories to me later in life, because I was a kid who, you know, I didn't go to jail and do crazy stuff, but I always did whack stuff. Like, I would go shoplift. Like, and I just happened to not go to jail, but I'd be I'd be held in the mall jail for like a weekend and, you know, be suffering. But I never really paid the price. But my mother would always recount the stories of how frustrating it was and how God brought her through all these things. And so one day I remember I shoplifted. I remember being in corporate. I remember that. And I came in before my mother, and I remember that. And people was like, they would be like, you know, we're going to go ahead and call your mother. I was like, nah, dude, I'll stay for the weekend. I'm not going home, because my mother would lynch me. And I'm not doing it. Remember, I begged her, like, no, you call my aunt, don't call my mom. So the day came when I went to court, and I remember the day, and this is when I never had nothing on my record. I wasn't a kid who got in trouble or anything, but I went in, and my mother recounted this story to me. My mother recounted the same, she was thinking the same way you were thinking about your son. And she was like, I don't understand. She said, she remembers sitting on the bench. She said, I was sitting there, and I said, Lord, I don't understand. I took him to church. I put him in church. You know, I put him in, trying to build him in better schools. You know, I did this, I did that. She said, she was so frustrated. She said, and I felt so like I was so wrong, like I had did something wrong. And she said, she remembered the Lord clearly speaking to her, and she said to her, he said, did you teach him this kid? She was like, no. He said, did you teach him to cuss? She was like, no. He said, did you teach him to go do? She said, he ran through a whole list of things. And my mother said, no, I didn't teach him any of that. She said, that's his decision. That was his decision. She said, and you did everything right. It's his decision. It's not your fault. And basically, I'll take care of it. And I remember my mother telling me that story, and I was like, wow, for real? And she was like, yeah.
Wow.
She just broke it down. Like, did you teach him this? Did you teach him that? So she's basically saying, I did everything I was supposed to do. I'm not responsible as far as I didn't teach him this. I did what I was supposed to. God was stepping
in. That is a great story.
Now my responsibility is to be what my mother is today. Like, my mother is my spiritual leader. I talk to her every now and then when I have things and stuff like that. And, you know, I just put that to you to tell you that you didn't do anything. You did what was right. But at the same time, you have to look at it and say, we all are responsible for our decisions at certain points in our life, and we as sons make decisions, and they're responsible. That has no reflection on you, because you didn't teach them that. So, I just wanted to free you with that.
I appreciate that story. I appreciate you telling me that definitely hits home. It did. We've been dealing with this for about 4 years now with my son, and it took me a couple of years before I realized it was nothing I did. That, you know, this is something he just decided to do, and he got caught up, and this is his journey. So my job is to be there to support him and help him as much as I can without enabling
and
him.
And do all
it's
you can.
Huge deal. Yeah, exactly. I appreciate that story, though. Thank you so
much.
Yeah,
and I wanted to say that because I just felt like I had to say that, and I was like, because I hear parents all the time with their frustrations and say, you know, why is my kid doing? Like, what did I do wrong? And it's like, nah, that's a trick. You ain't do nothing wrong. You didn't teach him to put it in his hand and encourage and put it in there. It's all a choice. And once you do that, you free yourself to then be able to help your child because you
that's
know
right.
This is something they chose to do and they don't know no better. But now that I know and I'm your parent, now it's my responsibility to at least give you the information and do all I can. And if that fails, guess what? God doesn't hold you responsible for that. He only holds you responsible for how you react to it. And like I said, we'll help you all we can. I know Vic will. And Vic, let me shut up and let you ask your question or whatever you want to say. I apologize. Do your thing, Vic. I'm sorry.
It was cool because it kind of leads into some stuff I was going to get to.
Okay.
And he's right. Max is absolutely right. He is a knucklehead, and his mom didn't teach him that fast. You know, he learned that on his own, being in Detroit.
I knew you were going to take every shot you can to get back at me, but I'm going to let you go ahead and slide that
night.
Go ahead.
No ill will. I love you. But
I know.
I want to get into a lot of this stuff, your background, because Matt gave us a brief rundown, and he gave us a brief rundown about your background. I am a jokester, okay? I don't want you to get offended by anything I say. So what I'm about to do right now is really be a lot of how are you doing this right now?
Oh, my
I
God. No,
you
did not.
10 years. Do you like my afro, Miss Lightyear?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to
oh, my God.
Because, hey, I told you I'm a jokester. But what I want to get to is this. You know, Max said things happen for a reason in your life, and you travel the path you travel because God put it that way for you, and you're a stronger woman from it. The music that you were able to create and the people you were able to surround yourself with, whether they were good, bad, or indifferent, helped help to create the person that you are. So my question to you is this. Here's my question. Let's say the foundation gets off. And your son began the great recovery that we're all praying for. And your other son is just as successful as you want to be. What is the legacy that you want to leave in this world? I know it's not just being a hot pin-up model for the magazine, for the album cover and song.
I could have told you that
what
answer.
What is the legacy? Well, I just want to know because Max said, you know, you still got it. And if you still got it, I want to know, can people see it?
Let me tell you, before the foundation situation came up, before the addiction with my son came up, I really was working hard to try to figure out how to start an organization like the Musicians Union. I had a business where we employed musicians. We put them in on tours with named acts and all that. And I saw how the musicians weren't respected like they should be. They were, you know, jammed in rooms, you know, 3-4 tour rooms sometimes, and I had to fight that over and over again because these are grown men, and it was important for them to be at their very best if they're going to be backing a well-known artist performing. So I couldn't understand why the labels and management companies would pay so little and treat them as if, you know, hey, they should just be grateful to have the job. My thing is, these men and women work hard, and the Musicians Union, I don't want to talk bad about the union, but they do really cater to the upper echelon of musicians who make a ton of money. The other ones that don't make a lot of money consistently, they can't get the benefits that they need, like insurance, you know, for health problems. I have had too many friends of mine that have passed away over the many years because they wouldn't stop the tour or wouldn't stop doing a gig because you know, something was wrong with them, they need to go to the hospital, they knew that they would be replaced because there's no protection for their jobs. And I
right.
thought that was really sad. So at one point I was on my journey to fix that, just me.
Okay.
And
right.
the good old boys on the board was like, yeah, that sounds nice. That's not going to happen. But you know what? It still could. I don't know. It's a huge thing to come up against an organization that's been around for so many years.
Yeah.
But that's okay. If my legacy is the foundation, that is a beautiful thing. As long as I've helped other people out, that's a great thing for me.
Okay. So as long as your foundation goes off. And
as long as my foundation is great and it's helping other families
mm-hmm.
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, kids to get the rehab that they need, the help that they need, that is a
right.
wonderful thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. It leaves a legacy. All right. Go ahead. You got another one for us? Go ahead.
Oh, you know I do.
Go ahead.
That was a serious question. Does
mm-hmm.
he really make good pancakes, and is he really walking around the house in high heel pumps? That's what I need to know.
That is funny. The pancakes, I'm going to answer that question. The pancakes, I couldn't tell you about. I don't know about the pancakes, but the high heel shoes, yes. I mean, he plays basketball in his high heel shoes. I don't know if he does today, but he did back then.
I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him being on stage playing basketball at a concert.
Yeah.
I remember that. He had a basketball, and while he would be singing, he'd be shooting flat free throws, or he'd be dribbling the ball a little bit, and he'd shoot. He could hit. He could play. From what I saw.
And this is from Charlie Murphy. He walked around the house in pumps, so like getting his calf muscles together so he can jump. I thought he was only like 5 foot and nothing. So he probably tired of that. But, Chris Rogers Nelson, if you want to come on and rebuke me, that's fine. Come on, bring it. I'm your biggest fan, but, you know. But in all honesty and sincerity, I know it's hard. It's hard to be in that business, especially to be around someone of his magnitude. But being around him opened doors for you. Talk to us about some of the doors that Mr. Nelson opened for you and how you exploited those options.
That's a loaded question, and it's not a fast question, and I have to go in about 5 minutes, so I'm going to try to
okay. That's fine.
Get this in.
That's fine.
Here's the thing. When I was working with Prince, he didn't want you to work for anyone else. He wanted you to just be on call for whatever the case is, appearances, parties, whatever. So when you say what doors, it opened up doors simply because I was attached to his name, which was great. But the doors that it opened out here in Hollywood, I would have to say 98% of those doors I did not want to walk through. I chose the more difficult route to take in this industry. It's a male-dominated industry.
I didn't mean
those things.
I didn't mean
those
things.
Really tough.
Can I break that down to dumb thoughts? Are you saying that, and I'm going to say it, so you don't have to say it. Are you saying that 98% of the doors were things where you would have to maybe, quote-unquote, sneak your way to the top?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought you were saying, but I wanted to make it clear for my audience because I knew you wouldn't going to say it that way because you're classy, but that's what I wanted to make sure.
I did, however, say the casting couch exists, and that's why I chose to be behind the scenes. And trust me when I tell you, behind the scenes – it's still tough. It's still tough for a female to really do her thing in this industry. I know a lot of women can agree with me on that. You know, you just got to be tough. You got to, set the ground rules.
It's got to be, I think not only is it tough, but I also think there's no good trade-off with that. because you almost it's almost like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But it's just it comes down to how you want to look at yourself in the mirror when nobody else is around. And because if you do it, then it's like, okay, you're getting what you want, but nobody respects you, and they talk about you behind your back, and they treat you as such. But if you stand up for something, they talk about you behind your back, they don't respect you, or they treat you a different way. But at the same time, at the end of the day, you feel better because you can't say you slept with me, can't say I'm a hoe, can't say I did this,
hey,
can't say I did that, and I did
let
the
me
honest
tell
way.
You,
and that's what and that's worth everything. That's worth gold.
It really is. It really is. And I am happy I made the choices that I've made through the many years, especially
mm-hmm.
now that I have two boys. They have nothing mm-hmm. to be ashamed of.
Right. Nothing to pop out like, dang, mama did that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you don't have nothing,
they can
nobody
say
holding
mama.
Your head.
Huh?
They can say mama.
Well, that's
they can say mama.
But that's a good thing. That's what I was going to say. That's a good thing. Boys like it at their mama hot, but they just don't want to know she was hot with everybody. They want to be like,
well,
no, no. That's about it. The other thing is, which is a good thing, is that nobody can hold anything over your head. You know, I'll tell
that's
your sons
right.
what you really like if you do this, and that's a good thing. So before
mm-hmm.
I let you go, I'm going to let you go because I know you got to go. And we're going to do a
mm-hmm.
part two of this. I promise you, I'm going to get you back on here. If I have to wait another 6 months, I'll get you back on here.
No,
okay, good, because I was going to say, because you call me and let me know, and we'll do it. But
I will.
I want you to speak real quick to all the young women out there who want to get into your industry, the entertainment industry, whether it's movies, videos, whatever. I want you to. These next few minutes are yours. I want you to speak to them to give them advice about what they should and shouldn't do. Just what you, being in the business and your experience, what you would tell these women to do or these young ladies to do, you know, if they're listening, what you should do and what not to do and what's your advice, you know, and I just want you to expound on that before we let you go.
Okay, you know, this industry has changed a lot since my 20s of trying to do things and 30s. And these days it seems like the girls have to be pretty much naked and dropping in like it's hot
mm-hmm.
and everything else in order
mm-hmm.
to get into a video for free.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to anybody that wants to get in this industry, if you're a model, go get an agent. If you are trying to be, you know, a singer, an artist in this industry, get yourself a manager so that there's that shield where you don't have to deal with the men out there that wants to take
mm-hmm.
advantage and will take advantage of you. There's so many out here that claim that they're doing this, that, and the other, and they ain't doing nothing but talking about what they're doing. So, I just think to have someone represent you is the best way to go, even if it's just a cousin or a friend until, you know, you really get to know the ropes, because there's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of people you can trust in this industry. I hate to say that, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you're saying this. I mean, that's what I want you to say, because, I mean, there are a lot of ladies out here. I know some that, you know, they got these aspirations and these dreams, and it's like, you know, even from basketball cheerleaders, you know, who want to cheer for a team or something like the NBA team or something like that. And I'm like, you know, I hear the story, and it's just
mm-hmm.
crazy.
It's crazy.
I mean, to hear from a person like you who of your magnitude, you know, it goes a long way. But I know you got to go, Manisha, but let me say this to you. One, I want to thank you. I know Vic wants to thank you. I want to thank you because I asked you to come and you did, and you was willing. It took a while, but I'm a very patient person because I know you're worth the wait. I just want to let you know that whenever you want to come on here, I don't care if it's 10 years from now and you're still doing stuff and you're like, look, I want to call and be on your radio show and I want to do that. If I'm doing a radio show, you got it. You call me. We'll work out a time or whatever. It don't matter. I could be anywhere in the world and we can still do this
mm-hmm.
show. So it don't even matter. I got you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I thank you for being. I mean, who would have thought a long time ago when I had you pinned up on my wall, I'd actually know the woman. I never thought that. That's how God works. Like, who would ever think that I would like this woman? And then She was so kind, Vic. She took my, when I first contacted her about it, we started talking, she was just so nice, like, oh, no problem. And she kind of stand off a little bit like, really? Like, what kind of show you got, man? But once I told her, she was more than willing. I had to wait a while, but you know what? She's a great guest. And to be honest with you, you know I didn't know nothing about your son's addiction. But this is how,
is
what I mean by God causes things, people to meet and do things for certain points in time.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm glad I was here at this time when you're ready to do this and I have a voice and have something. Now, I'm not, you know, I'm not a national radio show, but, you know, damn sure I can load this thing back in there and play the show over again and I can send the link out to some people and hear about it. So when you get that thing up and running, when you're ready to come back on, you hit me. I'm going to bug you, though. I'm going to be like, you ready now? Ready now? You know, so... You know me.
No, I'll definitely hit you guys up.
And well, thank you very much, and we appreciate it. And, you know, we will definitely contact you later. And God bless you and your son, and we'll be praying for you. I promise you that.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I will be
seeing you. All right, Alicia, and absolutely. We'll get you in for the next show. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Alicia. That's Manicia Lightner, one of my friends, a really good person. You just heard a little bit. We're going to do a part two, and I'm going to let Vic know, and I'll let all my listeners know when we do that. I still have some part twos to go. I still got to get Brian Chase back on, but he wants to wait till he gets overseas so he can talk to us while he's at camp and things like that. So we're going to get that together. I have some other stuff I want to do, too. So I want to do a summer series with all basketball players, streetball players, players people didn't know about or what have you, but that hasn't worked out because the weather here in Maryland, D.C., has been wacky. We've had more rainouts of games and stuff than anything, and they're hard to get. So with that, how many time we got left, Vic?
We've got a half an hour or 20 minutes, Matt.
You got half an hour?
So
about 20
yeah,
minutes?
We got about 20 minutes. I didn't know. I was fine. You were the interview was short, but I was thinking you had something you want to talk about, Pittman or something like that.
Yeah, I just want to announce that August 25th, let me correct that. One, Manicia did tell me she was going to do a shorter interview because she says, I have a lot of things going on and I can give you what I can give you, but I can't do a real full hour of the show yet because I've got a lot of stuff to do. So that's why I'm going to let her on part two really clear her schedule where she can say, okay, I got this out. We can do da-da-da-da-da. And what I'm hoping is that that'll be the time when she can tell us about everything she's doing and what she's going to be doing, and then we can push it from there. And I'm hoping that maybe this is something that the network can partner with her on. That's my hope. And then that way it'll be something where it's a win-win for both. And even if it's a win just for her, that's fine too, because I'd rather do good than always looking for something to bolster us. So, but hopefully, I hope it's something that we can partner with, and you know, the network, and you know, maybe get a little more recognition through that. So,
of course.
The other thing I wanted to talk about as far as the Goodman, there is a game coming up, our annual end of the year game that we have will be at the Matha High School on August 25th. That game will be. Doors open at 3 o'clock. The first game at 4 o'clock will be Goodman versus Watts. That's two local outdoor leagues here that compete. The second game after that at 6 o'clock will be the Big Show. We got, man, who do we got? This year we changed it. Instead of having street ball players, our players and some of the Goodman play against the NBA pros, now we have pros on pros. So there will be people such as Kevin Durant, Gilbert Arenas has just signed on in the last couple of days to flex. We have Ty Lawson. We have Victor Oladipo. We have Jared Jack. We got
John Wall.
We got John Wall. We got KD. We got – I can't remember the other guy. Who else did we have? We got – oh, my God. We got so many people. We got
Michael Beasley.
We got Mike Beasley. Weed head. I mean, that's my man. I'm going to have to put him out there like, dude, you can't get pulled over for weed. You just said you was done with that. I don't understand. And sometimes I just punch him in the face. But anyway – he'll be there. Hey, man, I keep it real. It ain't like I'm going to act like I ain't going to talk about nobody else and not talk about, you know, people I know, too. It just don't go like that. If you're wrong, you're wrong. But we got a whole lineup. I mean, right now it's like it's probably about 10 guys on each team right now. And like I said, him and what's the guy who played for Chicago Bulls? just signed on to. I can't remember his name. He went to DeMatha. But when I remember his name, I'll tell you. But he just signed on today. So there's a lot of guys that are going to sign up for this game, Josh Shelby. And there's some other players who are going to be in it. So this is going to be a pretty much star-studded event. Tickets will go on sale on Monday. It'll be live on the GoodmanLeagueLive.com. The tickets will be $30. Floor seats will be $100. If you want to sit on the court side and yell and scream at the players and ask if they maybe slap a hand or two when they go by, you will pay $100. American. We have about 400 tickets we're selling online for the general admission and about 50 tickets for the floor seats. So it's going to be a good event. It's going to be a real nice event, and I'll be there. In the meantime, tomorrow, Towson University, Ball Up. Ball Up will be in town at Towson University. That means Baby Shaq and Pat the Rock, local guys who are here who won on that tour. They will be at the Towson University. I think it's tomorrow, 7 p.m., the game time. If you want to get tickets, you have to go to ballup.com or go out to Towson University. I think you can buy tickets out there. I'm not really sure, but check the ballup.com website, and you should be able to look that information up and get your tickets. That's going to be a good event, too. So we got some things going on in the town, you know, and, you know, right now the Goodman has had a great year. Goodman playoffs start August 19th. So please check the Goodman website for there will be a bracket up there with the teams based on record and seeding and who will go where. And you'll be able to follow that also on the GoodmanLeagueLive.com. In the meantime.
Let me do one thing while you're doing that, Matt.
Sure.
For those that are listening, because I see a lot of different area codes on our phone line right now, the Goodman League is a D.C., Washington, D.C. based organization that normally does outdoor basketball. And last year, during the strike, the NBA strike, this is the only place where you could have seen pro athletes play against each other. The Goodman was a Mac and I can't remember the gentleman that runs the Goodman.
Miles
Wall. Name, Mac?
Miles Wall. That's
Miles.
Miles. Miles Wall.
Yes.
Like R A W L S, like Ross, like Lou Ross. Miles
yes.
Wall.
They organized this event because of Mac, the mouth of the South, you know, spitting that fire as he normally does, but his antagonistic approach worked because it became a West Coast versus East Coast pro athletes as well
oh,
as
you talking about capital. You talking about capital
yes.
punishment? That was the game
yes.
against the. We played
outdoor versus indoor.
Actually it was indoor and we played. It was the Goodman versus the I can't remember that league now. I can't believe I can't remember the name of it. But it's inside. It's right in L.A. In the hood.
Correct.
And they came down and they played us. And we beat them here, and then we went back down there in the fall, and they beat us down there.
Yes, and what my point was that, folks, if you're in the D.C. area during the summertime and you're a basketball lover, if you want to see pure basketball, not and-one guys, but if you want to see pure basketball, amateurs and pros, just playing in tournaments, this is the event to come see every summer. Now, events such as the round ball classic that Max talking about that's going to happen, it features stars.
That's usually the end of the year.
Yeah, end of the year. But these events that the Goodman put on in the summer feature a lot of young athletes or athletes that have the talent, but for one reason or another are not in the NBA.
Right.
So if you are a basketball lover, if you like the round brown, indoor or outdoor, that would be one of the attractions that you might want to come check out. It's basketball at its purest. If you like He Got Game with Big Jesus Shuttlesworth, Ray Allen, I mean, it's like that, but on a higher level because he was just, you know, trying to get to a college, but he had great game on the hard court outside. And this is that in real life with pros and Joes, so to speak.
Right. Let me say this. Let me break it down in layman terms from what Vic is saying is the Goodman League is, from a fan standpoint, it is like coming to a black family reunion every day from June through August. It runs. There are about 20 to 22 teams. No, there's food and drink down there. It's like you come down and you see your folks. You come down there, you see a good game. You know, everybody talk trash. You get Jones on, everything. But it's two games a night, one at 6 and one at, well, that's black folks' time because it never starts at 6. But 6 o'clock and then there's one at 8 o'clock. The headliner game is at 8 o'clock. The warm-up is at 6. Four teams that play, two at 6 and then one at 8 o'clock. It runs from the beginning of June all the way through maybe the middle of August. And then after that, it's over. And then we do have our Goodman Round Ball Classic every year. Last year, we had Chris Brown. Remember, we had Chris Brown playing last year.
Yeah.
Vic is talking about, this was like the year before last, we had what's called capital punishment. That's when, if I'm not mistaken, the NFL went through a lockout and the NBA went through a lockout at the same
time.
Because I remember we had football players playing with us at the Goodman also, like Naval Bowman, who plays for the 49ers. And most of the NBA people that we have in our Round Ball Classic are guys that either grew up here or play for the sports teams here or somehow have a connection to Washington, D.C. for some sort of reason, and they come and they play. Now, if you come on a regular day, just a regular normal day, we run Monday through usually Thursday, and then we have a game on Sunday. We usually take off Friday and Saturday unless there's a makeup game and it got rained out. But if you come on a regular day, let me let you know now, you will not see NBA guys every time you walk in the door. You will not. You
Correct.
May catch one every now and then. You may catch them watching, but you may not catch them playing. If you do, great. But I'm going to tell you, the league is it's just as competitive as any league in America. I think what sets us apart and makes us number one is that we're an outdoor one, number one, because most summer leagues are indoor. We still do it outdoor. And then the second thing is it's the competition. Everyone who comes down wants to play. It's a different type of play. A lot of people look at it on film and think, oh, that's easy. It's not, because the people are right up on you. And, I mean, Vic hasn't been there, but the people are right up on you. They're going to talk about you. You miss. They're going to talk about your hair, your clothes, your socks, your shoes. They're not going to let you off the hook. If you can do it, they give you props. If you can't, they're going to tell you. Miles will tell you. Miles burn up anybody. Miles burns up NBA pros. It don't matter if it's Kevin Durant. He didn't burn him up before, talked about him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is. But it's all fun and it's all love. So, like I said, if you want to see real basketball, good basketball, come see the number one summer league in the country. The Goodman is every the beginning of June all the way through. If you want to join the league or you want to bring a team down for the summer and bring in the league, which we get a lot of people asking, how do I join the league, you can hit us up around April or May and hit us on our contact page on thegoodmanleaguelive.com. You can hit the contact page, and when that time comes around April or May, you want to request. We'll have you hook you up with the person who can put that together. Usually it's me who puts you in touch with who needs to talk to you. But as far as individuals, we don't put individuals on teams. Let me announce that now, because you get a lot of that. People are like, can I be put on a team? We don't put nobody on teams. You either know somebody to get on a team, or you put your own team in. If you come on yourself, you're going to do it the hard way. You have to bring yourself, come down to the Goodman before it starts, and beg somebody and see if you can get on and get a shot, or when they don't have enough. That's how it's going to have to work. So that's the kind of league we run. That's the kind of league we have. But it's a very good league. And like I said, if you stop in D.C. anytime between June and the middle of August, you know, stop down. You know, we always got games. And if you want to look at the schedules and you're coming into town, you want to see it, go to thegoodmanleaguelive.com, click on schedule, and usually the schedule will be there of what games are out, what teams are playing. And just stop through. We got food. We got drink. We even got alcohol. Food, alcohol,
oh
we got every kind of food you can want to, salads, chicken. No, I'm being serious. We sell alcohol out there. We do. I mean, it's legal. We got police out there. We got police all day, D.C. police, D.C. police. Nothing jumps off out there. It's a safe environment. It's a lot of fun. You can bring your kids. Hey, look, y'all want to be funny? Even white folks, suburban white folks come down to the project, and that's a project. And they come down and they have a good time with their family and their kids. And have a great time. We even have the Secretary of Education, Arnie Duncan, has his own team in the league, and he plays. Reggie Love plays with him. So I'm just saying that's the type of league we run. If we can get POTUS down there, I can throw some apples at him, but I'd like to see him come play just to
oh
the whole business of the league. Yeah, I knew you wouldn't like that. But anyway, But just to give people a heads up, and I want to give you a heads up, Vic, because you are the CEO, is that's what I'm working on right now. I'm actually working on getting Reggie Love on my show. So I'm actually working on that right now. I've actually spoke to him already. We're going to see what we can do.
All right.
If we get that, that's a big move for me. So, you know, I went up and talked to him. I told him I don't like your former boss, but I'd like to get you on to find out what makes you tick and why the hell you would be with that dude. But I didn't, you know, I didn't put it in that way, but I wanted to put it in that way, but I'm a little bit smarter than that. And I was like, well, I'm digging it.
So, you ready to
do this
show?
What'd you say?
No, I was going to ask something, and you went off onto that tangent and changed my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
It has something to do with, Matt Cat Doggett.
I'm glad you forgot. I'm glad you forgot with your liberal self. I don't want to be bothered.
Hey, shut up, dude. I cannot remember right now. It wasn't sports related, but it was. I can't remember right
baseball?
Now.
Well, I can tell you right now. Well, let me say it right now. If y'all I'm just let y'all know since it's out there. If y'all want to end baseball, all this steroids and all this other stuff, y'all want to do all that? Y'all want to avoid. The weed smoking and the drug test. Y'all don't have to eliminate it. You can eliminate all this. You know what you have to do? You need to make every time somebody does it a mandatory lifetime ban. Everybody will quit doing it. But in this society, we won't do it because we're too much of a compromiser. Oh, that's too mean. Oh, that's too harsh. Nah, because I'm going to tell you. If you made it where your ass won't come back no more, once we catch you, we got evidence on you, you're done, everybody will stop. The first person get banned in one day, ooh, I signed an $80 million contract. Poof, that's done. You're done. Goodbye. Guess what? Then everybody will quit doing it. Then everybody will start telling you know what? Get away from me, dude. I don't want to come to your lab and try nothing. Get away from me, guy. I don't want none of that stuff you're pushing. Get away from me, Mr. Trainer. I don't want to do that. See, this is the problem, is that everybody knows I can get a second chance. I maybe get away with it, and then I can get some money. And see, this is the problem. Same thing with you know, liberals want to get rid of guns, and we want to own guns, but we want to own them legally and have them. But let me be honest. I'm not being joking. But if you want to end guns, you want to make guns safer, you want to stop all that crime in Chicago, you want to really stop all that crime in Chicago and all these other places, you know what you do? What you do is, you got a gun that's illegal, your ass go to jail for life. That's it. Goodbye. Make it a federal crime. 10 years mandatory. See you. We won't see you for 10 years. Bye. I don't care who you are. You over the age of 18, you got a gun, you want to go rob a bank, whatever, we catch you with a gun, you're done. Goodbye. But the problem is, we're not making it a federal crime. We're making it a state thing. And it's too lenient.
Well,
if you start sending people for 10 years, if you send people away, let me ask you, would you be willing to go out and shoot somebody? Or would you be willing to have a gun and pull it out and be illegal, Vic? If you knew that if you pulled it out and you get caught with it, you're going to wait for 10 years, automatic, mandatory, a federal joint?
Well, think about that.
I'm not saying.
No, I agree. I agree with your logic. But the one thing, and I don't think it's a liberal conservative thing, because that could take us to another whole show. But what I'm saying is that if the states already complain about not having prosecutors, that and the third, if you make that a federal law, then it says you're taking away our power to punish. So it's a win-lose situation. You win because, if you say there's a legal weapon there and you get caught with it, you're going to do a mandatory 10 years maximum life. For that crime that you have that illegal weapon with and stuff like that.
I agree with you, Matt.
On the other side of it, I see the negative of the state saying, well, you want to control this, you want to control that, and now you're going to try to tell us that you are going to impose your own sentences so that the courts at the state level have no power. I mean, I get exactly what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. It's just I see a lot of, and I'm going to say it, the conservatives being upset that, and Tea Partiers being upset that the power has been taken away from them, and it's a federal thing. I mean, it's like some things are federally done.
But I don't see that because conservatives believe in, no, but conservatives believe in having guns, legal guns. You need to go through the process.
Yeah.
My thing is when you say losing control, I don't believe that there's a bunch of conservatives saying, oh man, we lose all control. We don't get to have power. I don't hear that. What I hear is not you, not necessarily you, but I hear liberal groups who went off the whole thing about Sandy Hook and went off all these other things and said, we need to just get rid of guns. Nobody need to have guns. We need to get rid of legal guns. People can't carry guns legally. We should just get rid of all. That's the whole message that the people, Nancy Pelosi and all the people was putting on. I got all film to see where they said it. My thing is this. If you make it federal, then that goes away. The people in Chicago who get caught with the guns, I'm just telling you. It's like the greatest example I can give you is this. It's like being in a business, and I hire a bunch of people. And I say, don't be late. Now, the first dude walks through the door, and he's 2 minutes late, and I fire him. Guess what? Everybody else starts being late because then everybody realizes, oh, shoot, this dude is really, like, firing people, like, over 2 minutes. Like, this is crazy, you know, and you set the tone. But here's my thing. Are some conservatives, I mean, I don't know about conservatives, but let's just say you're right. Who cares? I don't want my mother murdered. I don't want your son murdered. I don't want your kids murdered. I don't care. That's a great, to me, life is more important than somebody saying, I don't want power. And to be honest with you, I believe conservatives, a lot more conservatives than not, would be more on board with those people having it a federal crime because then it may, guess what? Now we don't clog our system with a whole bunch of bullcrap. Now that's not saying you can't have a trial, but if the evidence is there and you had the gun, you're done. You see you, bye. That's what happened to your boy. Remember your boy from the New York Giants? That's what happened with him.
Yeah.
And he shot himself in the leg. And guess what? The mandatory sentence was? Bye-bye. Didn't matter who he was. And he had to go and he had to serve it. And guess what? I didn't feel sorry for Plaxico Burress not one bit because I was like, you're an idiot. If you knew the law said that you shouldn't have a gun, it wasn't legally registered, you didn't have no license for it, and you shot yourself in the leg with it, and you went to jail, I ain't feel sorry for you shot yourself in the leg. Man, goodbye. You shouldn't have done that. Because guess what? Maybe it wasn't a leg. Maybe it would have been Victor coming through the door and he dropped the gun, all slid down his leg, dropped it, and shot you. So my thing is, I'm all for law and order.
I agree.
But if you do that, everybody stops doing it. But I don't believe that there's a whole bunch of conservatives out there because, to be honest with you, when the liberals were screaming and crying bloody murder and take all the guns away because of the family, because of the kids and stuff, they were the main ones who were saying, nah, if it's legal, we should have them. We shouldn't get rid of our guns. They're not for getting rid of them. They're for dealing with the gun crime. As opposed to saying the gun is the problem, because if you give me a gun and I go hunt, you don't bring back food for it. You're hungry. But if I take a gun and I go shoot somebody, it's not the gun, it's me. So you shouldn't get rid of the gun.
Matt,
you got to deal with
Matt,
the person.
Matt,
what?
You know you're in overtime. You're in overtime. But I'll say this: I don't agree with the notion that the liberals were saying take away your guns because they weren't. They were saying make it a more stringent policy. And we've talked about this as far as, how is that going to keep it out of legal hands and stuff. I mean, we've talked about that. And that's
a
totally different subject matter.
But I'm just saying this. But the more stringent they were doing it, you already had background checks. Where you had to have license and things like that. I mean, that stuff was laid out. There's no more strings you can get. And what I'm trying to tell you is, but then you look at an idiot like Joe Biden who sits there and talks about take a gun and blast it and take a sawed-off shotgun and blow it, and that'll scare him off. Like, dude, what is wrong with you? Like, who comes up with that crap? Like, what hood did you live in? Like, you just take a gun and just blast it off.
Joe Biden is our version of George Bush. You got to forgive him sometimes. But,
no, I ain't going to forgive him because I tell you what, George Bush, let me tell you this, right now in this country, George Bush is looking real good right now. He's looking real good right now. Trust me.
The black folks he is, but the white folks he's not,
and there's some black folks too that he's looking good too.
Well,
I know one thing,
I'll
I know George
this.
Bush looks a whole lot good better than me, but he looks better than me anyway because y'all, the boy,
stop
the boy
it,
trying.
Don't even do
I mean, it's cool.
No, but
I ain't
going to
go there. I'm not going to go there.
I'll say this. After watching, you know, how he and
he and the vice president were going at it. I will say that my respect level for George Bush went up because it was Dick Cheney who was causing most of the issues, and Bush trusted him to have his best interests at heart. And towards the end of his tenure as president, how he separated himself from his own vice president and other people.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not saying that George Bush is a dirtbag or anything like that. I just, I mean, from everything that he's touched since he's owned anything, it's always gone south.
Right.
And that was my big issue.
With a president, things always go south.
It doesn't matter who it is.
Obama is the biggest example of that. Every time he leaves it in somebody else's hands, the idiots mess it up, and then he takes all the blame. That's my point. That's his responsibility. You pick the idiot. You know. But anyway.
Well.
Let me get off of here.
All right.
I'm going to bid you adieu. Thank you for coming in on short notice, man. Thanks for playing my whole song. I mean, it was great. I've never heard it that long. It's really good. And I want to thank Manithia Lightner for being on the show. I want to thank Vic for taking on short notice, for my man Jerry, who is out doing his thing. And we will be back next week. Thank you, Vic. God bless you, man. And I will talk to you later, brother.
All right. We're out, ladies and gentlemen. See you on Saturday.
All right. We are out. All right. Later.